Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 342, The Path of Life. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, October 29th, 2023, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
So let's just jump right in. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for life. We thank you for your son, Jesus, that represents life to us. Father God, we come with open hearts to receive your word today. Change us, transform us by the power of your word. We thank you, Lord. We take all thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. We submit to you. Father, thank you for taking care of all distraction, Father, in people's minds or in the room, in the name of Jesus. And we just receive. We open our mouths like little baby birds and we're fed from you. Feed us today from your manna, from your word. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, so, you know, we look around, everywhere we look around, especially right now in this season. I always think at this last week of October, I said to Santos, I always feel like, can we just skip this last week? Can we just change the page on the calendar and skip to November? But, you know, we can't. But we see so much death and destruction. What we can do is declare the life of Jesus. What we can do is represent and model and transmit and impart the life of Jesus to people. Jesus is life. He conquered death and the grave, right? We know that, but we need a revelation of that. He conquered death in the grave for you, for each one, for any area in our lives that we're experiencing, any bit of death, anything that doesn't line up to his fullness of life is death. I'm not just talking about physical death, right? If you have sickness or illness in your body, that's a form of death, right? Does that make sense, right? But for those of us that are born again, Jesus is alive in us. We have the Holy Spirit. We have his life. Jesus represents life in contrast, in opposition to the thief, right? Satan, who has come to steal, kill, and destroy. He is the father of lies, Satan. He brings death and destruction in many forms in our life. Sickness is just one of them, right? Lack, poverty, depravity, fatigue, the list could go on and on in every area of life. So let's jump into the word. John 10 talks about this, talks about the life. John 10, 7 through 10, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It says, so Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, you know, you got to pay attention when Jesus says truly, truly. It's like, listen up, guys. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. What does abundantly mean? Way more, like over the top, flowing over, right? Abundant. It's a lot. Mucho, right? And then in John 14, Jesus told his disciples that there's a place prepared for them in his Father's home, that he will come and get them when it's time, right? And that they will be with him in heaven, right? And he says, you know the way to where I am going. Thomas disagreed, right? Doubting Thomas, remember him? And responded that, you know, we have no idea where you're going, Lord. We don't know. And Jesus told him, this is John 14, verse 6, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So let's unpack this. I am. I am in Greek is a very heavy, weighty, like intense way to say, like to refer to oneself. It has like a weighty connotation to it. Several other places in scripture, Jesus uses this term, this I am, right? And it's like saying, I myself, only I am, right? And when he would say this, the Pharisees and the religious leaders would get all in a tizzy, right? Because they were like, you're saying that you are the Son of Man, like you are God. And yes, that's essentially what he is saying by this, using this term, I am, like, it's just me, me, myself, and I am, right? It represents, or I am reflects the name of God in Hebrew, which is Yahweh, right? Which is to be, like, just Yahweh, like, to be, like, the state of existence, to be, or the self-existing one. So this name, I am, it carries a power and authority with it. Jesus claimed that as his own. He said, I am, right? And what did he say? He says three things. I am, the first one is the way. He is the way or the path to connection with the Father. And that we can, if we follow that path, we can connect and be with the Father. There's no other way, right? It's a lie that other religions say, oh, we all worship the same God. We're all going to, you know. No, that's not what Jesus says, right? That's not what the word of God, the sword of the Spirit says to us. There's no other way except through the Father to get to life, to get to the eternal life with Jesus, right? I remember the song years ago when I was into Hillsong and I traveled to Australia and I had this album on my little, was it MP3 player at that time? One way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for. Do you know that song? It's a good song. It's quite old now, but that's at the time when I was being saved and in this transition of really embracing Jesus in my life. One way, Jesus is the one way to the Father, right? The Greek word, let's see if I pronounce this right. Hados, it's written H-O-D-O-S, but you pronounce it Hados, is a traveled way or a road. It's a journey. It's the route, right? It's the route to follow. So he's saying that I am, like Jesus is the only journeying path, the only route to get to the Father, to heaven, to eternal life, to experience that abundant life. Amen. So Acts 4 verse 12 says, there is salvation in no one else. We can't save ourselves. We can't have Buddha or anyone else save us, right? There's salvation in no one else, the verse says. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. I love how the Holy Spirit weaves a theme through his services. This is his service. And did you notice both songs that we sang today were about the name of Jesus, about the authority of that name, about life coming out of the grave? Praise the Lord. So he says, I am the way. I am that route. If you're looking for eternal life, if you're looking for something, the opposite of death, and you want to experience all that Jesus has, he says, I am the way. Travel on my route. Travel this path. It's a narrow path, right? That's a whole nother preaching, the narrow road. That's for another day. But then he says, I am the way. Then he says, I am the truth, right? Jesus emphasized himself as the only truth, the only absolute truth that there is, right? Jesus is the incarnate word of God. He is the source of all truth. Right? In John 1, we read, in the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus, right? Jesus came in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So His Word, which is the ultimate law of righteousness, of what is good, what is true, what is noble, what is pure, was incarnate in the person of Jesus. Jesus made flesh. God made flesh, right? So that is His truth. The Word represents the truth, right? The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth, right? And the opposite, Satan is the father of lies, right? Who do you want to follow? Let's follow the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord, right? The Spirit of Truth. And Jesus embodied that. Matthew 5:17, Jesus said, do not think that I have come to abolish and do away with the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them, to satisfy the law, the standard of righteousness, right? There was no lie in Jesus whatsoever. And He came to take care of, to fulfill the law that we couldn't measure up on our own, that we would constantly fail and not measure up to the Word of God, right? To that ultimate, standard of righteousness. So Jesus fulfilled that. He fulfilled the wrath of God. He fulfilled, many of us in the cell groups have just studied in Colossians 2, He nailed that to the cross, our indebtedness, our owing something because we couldn't measure up to the law, right? He took care of it for us. Jesus is our ultimate standard of righteousness. He is the truth. That's what's behind when He says, I am the truth. So we have, I am the way, I am the truth, and then I am the, what's the third one? Life, that word that we're focusing on today. The life. The Greek word is Zoe. It looks like Zoe, like a name, Z-O-E. But we can just speak in tongues. How about that? I'll just preach in tongues and the Holy Spirit will help you get it. Shikabarona hiakaba. Did you get that? You're supposed to say amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's try this again. The Greek word is Zoe, and it means the absolute fullness of life. That's the Greek word for life. It's the absolute, total, complete fullness of life. John 3:36 says, and anyone, is that you? Anyone is me, right? And that includes you too. That's me. Yeah, you can say that. That's me. Anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment. Wow. I don't know about you, but I just want to cling to Jesus because of the life that He promises me, eternal life, living forever in heaven, that my spirit will go on when I leave, when my earthly body leaves this place. Amen. So let's obey the Son so that we can experience His fullness of life, His Zoe of life. That's what Jesus did for us. Amen. Makes me so, I read these verses and I just go, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you again and again. We should never tire of thanking Him for the life that He gave us, that He, like those miners, you know, He rescued us from being trapped in a pit underground with no air, with no light, with no nothing. He rescued us from the grave, from death. From darkness, yes. Hallelujah. All right. Let's just review the gospel here, because really I'm talking about the gospel, right? That Jesus came to take care of our sin, to take care of our sickness. It was a full package. And I was skirting around this, but let's go right to it. Romans 3:23 says, and this is the verse that we use, you know, if you've seen the gospel tools that we use from that we got trained in from the Time to Revive ministry. This is the on the wristband, the color yellow that represents sin, right? All have sinned. It says, for all, this is Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We can't measure up to his glory, to his righteousness, to his holiness, his purity. We have all sinned, right? Even sweet Pastor Karen, everyone loves, we all love Pastor Karen, right? Even Pastor Karen, sorry, but it's true. That's what the word says, right? It's what the word says. She agrees. Okay, so she's sinned too and fallen short of the glory of God. And the next verse when you're using these tools to share the gospel with somebody is death, right? The black color on the wristband. Death is the scripture that represents this is Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, right? So, you know, wages means like what you earn, right? If you work a job, you get a salary. It's what you're paid. It's what you deserve. It's the consequence for working a job is you get paid, right? And so this verse is saying the consequence or what you deserve for your sin, all of us, for our sin, because we all sin, is death. Right? And not just physical death, not that the Lord's going to just cast, you know, strike you down dead, but it's a spiritual death also. It's a separation, meaning eternally that you would be separated from God. That's not a good place to be, right? Our sin earns us that condemnation eternally. By choosing Jesus, a person chooses to avoid that destruction. And we're talking about hell here. We'll just say it plain, right? And that eternal separation, that death because that we deserve because of our sin, Jesus rescued us from that. He is the way, the truth. He's giving us another way out, a route out of death. Turn here, get on the path here, right? Jesus is the only source of this physical and spiritual life for us. He's the only. And so if you haven't done that, or if you're watching on social media, if you've never placed your trust, your faith, your hope in Jesus, I'm going to just invite you to do that today because he's offering you an escape route. Jesus has come to give you a way out. He says, come my way. You won't have to experience destruction, death in your life. You can experience the eternal life in Christ Jesus. And I'll just finish the other verses that we use with these tools to share the gospel. So that's a complete gospel message here. Romans 5 verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the color red on the wristband. It's love. He died for you. He died for me. He wanted to show you or demonstrate his love. And so he said, God said, I'm going to send my only begotten son, the verse that Elizabeth previously talked about, to die for you, to rescue you out of your sin and your condemnation and your guilt and your shame and all of that and the fear and the anxiety and you name, if it's not good, you name it, you know? And then, so you ask, well, how do I get there? How do I really get on the path? Through faith. It's the color blue on the wristband, and the verse is Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Sometimes we think that we can earn our way to salvation. If I say this amount of prayers, if I go to church this amount of times, if I give to charity or people in need, then I'll be saved. I'm a good person, and I'm not a bad person. I haven't killed anybody, so I should be allowed into the gates, the pearly gates, when, you know, the day I die. This is saying something else. This is saying it's not about what you have done or what you haven't done. This is about Jesus. This is about what Jesus has done for you. This is by grace you have been saved through your faith. That means the ball is in your court. That means Jesus already did it. It's your faith. It's your faith that saves you. So place your faith, place your trust in Jesus today. And then the last step of that is believing that in your heart, making it sincere, making it genuine, right? Life, it's the green color on the wristband. The verse is Romans 10, 9 through 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. It's as simple as that, friends. And you can do that right now with me. And I'm going to just feel like keep going. The Holy Spirit's just saying, keep going, go all the way. So we're just going to say a prayer right now. And ask, you know, confess means to say. We're going to say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord. He's a gentleman. He's not going to barge in. You need to invite him in. You need to ask him. Confess that with your mouth. Jesus, I want you to be Lord. That means you're saying, I can't do it anymore. I want you to be in charge of all the areas of my life. I don't know how to do that. I don't know what that looks like exactly, but I want you to help me. He's God of the universe. He knows. He knows how to help you, right? Praise the Lord. And you believe that truly in your heart. And then the word says here, you will be saved. There's no ifs, ands, or buts, or just you're saved because it's a Sunday. No, none of that. You're saved because he loves you, and you open your heart genuinely and you place your faith there in Jesus and you say with your mouth and you invite him in, then you are saved. Hallelujah. Okay, Father God, I just invite you right now. I just invite you into my heart. I'm modeling it as if it's the first time I'm doing this. And so you can repeat after me. Father God, I invite you into my heart and my life. I want you to be my Savior and be my Lord. Thank you, Father, for forgiving me of all my sins and washing me clean. Thank you, Father, that you teach me how to walk every day as your child. Remain with me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So the Bible says there's a party for you. If you've done that, if you did that, and that was, you know, the first time that you've reached out to Jesus and placed genuinely, sincerely your faith and your trust in him, the Bible says there's a party in heaven for you. Hallelujah. The angels are rejoicing because you have escaped death and you have gotten yourself now on the path of life. Hallelujah. The path of life, which is Jesus. You will experience heaven, eternal life. And not only the day you die, you experience heaven. Guess what? Here, today, now, you can experience life. Life in every area because you have Jesus living inside of you. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, thank you, Jesus. So let's find the path of life. Jesus is the path of life. Psalm 16 has been key for me, and all of it is really good, but I love it because the Lord made this real. That's what Revelation does. It came alive to me. You know, it's like I've probably read Psalm 16 lots of times, but when the breath of God, when the Holy Spirit like makes it come alive and breathes something and speaks something to your heart, it just, there's a memorial there. And anytime I read that word, it's like, yes, and it's still that, this word is still encouraging me today. And that's how this message was birthed, because he spoke to me about this, the path of life. So Psalm 16, verses 10 and 11, like I said, all of it is really good, but I'm just going to focus in on this part at the end. It says, "For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol." I am reading an ESV. Sheol refers to the grave or death. "You will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Hallelujah. Listen to it in the Passion Translation. Psalm 16, verse 10 and 11. It says, "For you will not abandon me to the realm of death, nor will you allow your faithful one to experience corruption. Because of you, I know the path of life, as I taste the fullness of joy in your presence. At your right side, I experience divine pleasures forevermore." Hallelujah. The divine pleasure, I believe, is experiencing having the resurrection power, the life of Jesus, bring transformation in an area of your life that has been dead or been in the dark. And it's him busting forth with his abundant resurrection life. That is amazing. So, you know, my testimony, my memorial with this verse, with the Lord, with this verse, was that I was fearing some things about the future. And I was, you know, saying, I'm just going to be miserable. And I, you know, I'm, you know, I, if I don't receive my breakthrough and what I'm praying for, I'm just going to be like, shrivel up and be bitter and just harden my heart. And God said, no, no, no. Psalm 16, he said, no, you're not. No, you're not. He said, stick with Jesus and you will find the path of life. Those three words were like etched in my heart. You, he said to me, you're on the path of life. And so as long as you stay abiding with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit, as long as you stay with him, stay in his word, stay in his presence, he said, I'm not going to let you get to corruption, just what that word says. I'm not going to let you get to death, to be bitter, to be dried up, to be, you know, like, how can I minister to other people if I don't get this in my own life? He said, you are on the path of life. So however it turns out, you stay with me and you're going to experience my life. Hallelujah, right? The outcome might be different, might look different than what I have thought or mandated. But as long as you stick with me, he said, as long as you abide in me, I'm always going to bring you life. We as people, we need to let go of some things sometimes so that he can bring his form of life. He's always got good stuff for us. He's always faithful. He's always got life for you in whatever area. Oh, I feel the preach. Hallelujah. He wants to show you this path of life. He turns the darkness into light. There's lots of scriptures about that. He turns death into life. It may look like a failure. It may look like a dead end. It may look really bleak. It may look like it's not going anywhere. But failure, guess what, is not possible with Jesus. It's not. Yeah, shout. Somebody shout with Elizabeth. She's only one shouting there. I mean, we can't fail with Jesus. If we're stuck with him, if we're abiding in the vine, if we're clinging to his word, then we're not going to be shriveled up, bitter and dry and dark and, oh, poor is me. Get some life. Get some life of Jesus. Hang out with Jesus. Get on the path of life. Find out what he is doing. Don't focus on, it's not happening. It's not happening. The lack, it's not there. I don't see it. What is he doing? Spend some time, and getting ahead in my notes here. I'm jumping all around because I'm getting excited. The Lord is an expert and he knows how to bring you life. He knows how to put you on the path. I mean, we've already put ourselves on the path of life by saying yes to Jesus, but he knows how to continually refresh and restore and like reboot that life and give you a freshness of it all the time, right? And in certain areas, he knows how to turn beauty from your ashes. Hallelujah. He did it so many times in the Word, right? Lazarus. How about it? That was physical death that Jesus took care of, right? In Lazarus, or in the book of John with the story of Lazarus, when Lazarus died, Elizabeth was talking about sweet aroma. Well, this wasn't a sweet aroma at this point in the story, right? Lazarus, you know, he's starting to stink up. He stinketh a bit because he's been there 3 days, and Martha was getting a little upset. Like, Jesus, if you had been here, you wouldn't have died. Guess what Jesus told Martha? This is John 11. He said, I am. There's the I am again. Ha, we know about that. I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Wow. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Right? And then he calls Lazarus out of the grave. Lazarus lives, right? The what are those called? The bandages and all the things. Grave clothes fall to the ground. Ha ha. Right? And Jesus says to Martha, didn't I tell you if you believed you would see the glory of God? Right? They experienced, everyone that was there, that resurrection life in front of him. Jesus does it. He knows how to do it. Another example. This isn't because we're not just talking about that. That is physical death, but we're not just talking about physical death. How about, I especially love this one. How about God touched Sarah's womb, right? He brought life to Sarah's womb when she was how old? 90. She was 90 years old. In the natural, that's like a dead womb, right? Like you'd think things would be closed up, the factory's not working. But guess what? God had other plans because he had a promise for Abraham. He had a covenant with Abraham. And so this verse in Hebrews 11:11, it says, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, I don't really need to look at my notes for this one, was enabled to bear children because she believed he was faithful who made the promise. She believed. It was her faith again. It was her faith. She considered him faithful who had made the promise to her. And that womb, her 90-year-old womb, was brought to life. And she conceived the promised child. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Another story. And there's so many stories of healing, physical healing, in the Bible. But, you know, how about the man at the pool of Bethesda? He was an invalid man. He was there for many years, right? Just kind of defeated. He had defeated thinking. And he was, you know, well, the angel comes and stirs up the water, but I just can never get down. Nobody can help me. I'm always the last one. And he was kind of like, poor me, victim mentality, right? He had some wrong thinking. And Jesus touched him. And he got healed that day. He got healed. Praise the Lord. He experienced the resurrection life. He was on the path of life in his physical body, and he experienced that life of Jesus. And guess what? I believe his mind, his thinking, he got some renewal up there in his mind, you know, because Jesus ministered to him. Like, stop thinking like you're, you know, get up and, you know, stop thinking like a victim. You're not a victim, right? Here, take this, take my life, boom. And he gets up, takes up his mat, right? And there's so many others. We could be here a week talking about many examples of in scripture where you see the life of God or the life of Jesus touching somebody and bringing them, you know, so that they're experiencing that path of life, that resurrection power. So let's go, let's bring it to ourselves. How do you receive that? How do you receive that path of life? How do you receive transformation from death to life? If you're saying, yeah, I'm thinking of some areas in my life right now that are dark, that there's some death there trying to creep in, right, in a situation. Well, it's important. Align yourself to righteousness. That's number one. Align yourself to this, to what the word says, to righteousness, not sin. Turn away from sin in your life, because sin opens doors to the evil one, to the demonic realm, right? And there's legal rights there operating for demons and the powers of and principalities of darkness to be in rule and have reign when you're entertaining things on that side. Does that make sense? So close the doors. Confess your sin one to another and you will be healed, right? The Bible says, align with truth, align with righteousness, partner with life, I like to say it, or not death, which is sin, right? Sin causes death in our lives. So repent from those things, turn away. Let's look at Proverbs 4. All of Proverbs 4 is really excellent and lines up to what we're talking about right here. I'll start at the beginning and then jump to a little bit later on. It says, listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. Verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom. We're talking about aligning ourselves. How do we go from death to life? Align yourself to truth. Align yourself to wisdom, God's wisdom. And verse 6, do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Where do you get understanding? From the word, right? From what God is saying. Let's skip down to verse 11. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. Oh, there's that word, path. We're talking about the path of life, a straight path. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. That's God's instruction we're talking about. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. I don't know if that's what your versions say, but that's what my NIV says. It is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Go the other way. Turn from it and go on your way. For they cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep until they make someone stumble. And then it goes on. It goes on there, verse 23 also, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. So that is, I would say, number one in experiencing and going from death to experiencing the life of Jesus. Turn away from evil in your life. Does it mean we're perfect every day, all day? No. When you mess up, repent. Turn around and go the other direction. Say, sorry, Lord, I messed up. Your blood covers me. Thank you that you forgive me. Thank you that we can move on. Empower me by your Holy Spirit, Shiakabaro, to walk right, to walk according to your way. Give me wisdom. Give me understanding. And pray Proverbs 4 and put your name in there. Pray that. And that will help. Okay, moving on. The next thing that I would say is so key in experiencing life in an area that you recognize there is, you know, death is trying to creep in. Or Satan's trying to intimidate you with, nah, nah, it's going to end bad, nah, you know, all this stuff. Shut up, devil, right? Intimacy with Jesus will combat all of that. Intimacy with Jesus. Stick with Jesus closely so that you can hear him whisper. If I'm up here and I start to talk really soft like this, you guys would all want to, like, come close, right, to hear what I'm saying. You have to stay really close to the heart of the Father so you can hear his whisper. So you can, we talked about this in cell group, right? On Tuesday. Don't follow so far behind that you're like, What are you saying? I can't hear your voice. Be up close next to the heartbeat of God, spending time in his presence and in his word, because you will be able to hear when the Father whispers to you. And he will show you, as you spend time in his presence, he will show you strategy and pray in the spirit. Oh man, this is so powerful. I don't think as Christians we use this tool enough. Pray in the spirit. He will show you. He will unlock. You know, he will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Pastor preached on this a few weeks ago. He will show you strategy and steps to take to get to the path of life. Because remember, we said he's always pointing you on a path of life. He always wants you to experience his abundant life. So, Lord, what do I need to do? I'm basking in your presence. I'm soaking in your peace today because I need your peace. And then he may speak something to you. And you follow that, because that is, if he tells you something, he's getting you on that path to life. So you obey it, because there will be blessing there, right? Take your focus away from what is not happening and shift to God. What are you doing? And spend time in his presence with, I can't see exactly what you're doing, God. And I want to see that. Open my eyes to see, what are you doing? Because you know what? He is Emmanuel, God with us. He's with us all the time. We just need a greater revelation of what he's doing, how he's moving, right? Tear off the cloak of focusing and looking at the death and looking at the bad and looking, focusing on the negative. And God, you are here because you're Emmanuel, God with me. So where are, what are you doing? You know, it reminds me of years ago, was it in the 80s, Pastor, when, you know, like the Cuban church was just being, can I say this online? Just, okay, well, so it just reminds me of, you know, when things get shut down and you know, rules and regulations and things say no, and it's like you don't focus, you take your focus away from the no, the shut door, the failure, the rejection, and you say, God, what are you doing? Right? God, what are you doing? And something really amazing, he can shift you and give you inside strategy so that, you know, the devil's doing his thing over here, thinks that he's trapping you, thinks that he, you know, he's telling you no and that you're going to just end. And you know what? But God did a whole other thing over here with, oh, okay, plan B. We've got to be a little bit more like flexible with the Holy Spirit. Okay, God, you're doing this, so I'm gonna leave that, the bad, the negative, the bad report, and I'm gonna go over here and say, spend time with you and pray it through till I can see in the Spirit, what are you doing, and how should I shift my energy and my focus and my thinking to what you are doing? Because there's always a path of life, right? Focus on your relationship with him. Allow him to show you things that you can't see with your physical eyes. Amen? Look to Jesus, not the problem. Look to life, not death. Look to the healing, not your sickness and your symptoms. Look to the word, not what your flesh says. Look to the word, not your logic, right? Look to the truth, not the lies. Look to success, but not failure. Look to victory, not defeat. Hallelujah, right? He always has life for you. He always has truth for you. So get close to his heart and get it. And get it and let it sink in. And you will have victory. You will have life. You will have resurrection power. Okay, I have no idea. I did not start my timer today. So are we like, have I already preached for an hour? I don't know. All right, we'll just keep going. You guys are good, right? Yes. All right. You're so good. You're good sports. Praise the Lord. So the third thing I would say, we talked about, right, aligning to righteousness, turning away from sin, intimacy with Jesus. These are ways that we can see a situation of death turn into life in our lives. And I would say the other one, stay in faith. stay in faith. Hebrews 11:1, we know this, right? Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for, the assurance about things that we do not yet see. So this is so key about faith, about engaging your mind or your imagination. You know, God gave us an imagination. What are you imagining? What are you calling into being things that aren't yet as though they are? Thank you. The be nots. Remember the be nots? Call those things that be not as though they were. That's using your imagination. Faith does some things. Faith, and this is, I preached a message some years ago, maybe I should repeat it again, but here's a little review, free review. Faith sees. Faith, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to paint a new picture, and this is involving your mind, your imagination. Paint a new conception on the inside of you of what your breakthrough looks like. Of what the abundant life in the area that you're seeing death and destruction, ask the Holy Spirit, meditate on this. What does it look like? I need to see it. If it's, I think of Pastor's testimony, you know, when he was going through the back trouble, he printed out, right, an x-ray of a perfectly aligned spine and cervical spinal column, right? And that's what he would look at every day. He got that before his eyes so that he could see it. And he said, that's how my spine is. That's how my spine is, right? And so if you have sickness, get it. You can physically put it before you, whatever you have to do. The ultimate goal is to get it in your heart so you see it with eyes of faith. Your family member that is, you know, struggling and you're praying for their salvation, get a picture and work with the Holy Spirit to get that picture of that loved one saved and set free. And so that is, you know, you've got to see it. You've got to imagine. This is using your imagination. Faith also speaks. So once you have that conception on the inside of you, nothing's going to shake that. And nobody can say anything different because your reality is this, what God has shown you, the spiritual conception of life, right? Of the thing that you're believing for. So then you're going to speak it out. If you really believe that your family member is saved, then you're going to speak that out. And somebody says a cross word about it and that, oh, they're going to end up blah, blah, blah. No, they're not. You know, and you speak truth because when you really see it, you believe it, and then you're going to speak it. Your words will line up. If your words aren't lining up, that's like a key, a clue to you. I don't really yet see it. You need to build faith. You need to go back and really build faith with the Holy Spirit so you can see it. Because once you see it, all these other things just, like especially the speaking, it just comes out because it's just, that's what you believe and that's what you're grounded on, right? So faith sees, faith speaks, faith acts. And that just is going to flow out too. Well, I'm going to act healed because, hey, I am healed. My body hasn't seen it yet, but I'm acting healed. So I'm not going to lay sick in bed. I'm going to get up and do something. I'm going to walk it out, confident, sure of the thing that I don't see, right? That's faith. It takes action. Faith without works is dead. Okay. Faith also stands, right? Like Ephesians 6, stand. And when you've done all, what do you do? Stand. You stand. You keep standing, right? And sometimes there's a standstill, right? And it's like you and the enemy are like this, right? But guess what? At one point or another, somebody's going to give up. Don't let it be you. Don't let it be you. Be grounded in that image of your healing, your breakthrough, your abundant life. However it looks on the inside, and the enemy, the defeated one, he's defeated, he's going to give up, and you get your breakthrough, right? And it might take some time. It might take some days, some weeks, some years, okay? But you stand. You keep standing on what the word says. You put that word, you put that image into your heart and let that all come out, the good stuff. Let the good stuff come out. Let it help you stand. And then faith rejoices. Faith celebrates what it doesn't yet maybe have the manifestation of, but you rejoice because God is good and God is faithful, and I do have it. I have it. I have it in the spirit realm. And you can rejoice in that. And then faith also rests. This has been a big one for me. I've learned to rest a lot more. I maybe not 100% there, but praise the Lord, I'm resting in the promises of God a lot more today than I was, I don't know, 4 years ago, right? Because sometimes, you know, with this faith stuff, we can like get into this works mentality of like, I got to learn the scriptures. I got to say the scriptures. I got to declare the scriptures. I got to do this. I got to do that. And we're chugging and like we're exhausted and we're not resting in God's promise, in his presence, in what he says. And so get on the path of life. If you need, I relate that to the resting, because path of life is like, let me do it. Jesus says, let me do it. I will do it. Rest in me. Rest in the promise. Okay. Conclusion. If your situation looks bad, it looks bleak, it's cause for crying, a pity party, despair, look up to where Jesus is. He has the path of life for you. He has life, Zoe, life abundantly for you. He's the expert in taking death, destruction, the grave, and turning it into life. It's what he is. It's who he is. He's the resurrected Christ in our lives. And he's not only taking us to eternal life in heaven the day that our body leaves here, but here, today, now, he wants you to experience his Zoe life, his abundant life. He has that truth, that path of life for you. So spend time with him. Turn away from evil. Align to faith. Walk in faith. Speak in faith. Rest in faith. Rejoice in faith. Stand in faith. Act in faith. Did I get all of them? Right? It was like a dance that I was doing. Right? Because he has that path of life for you. 1 Corinthians 15:55. It says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. We talked about that. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, those of you here and those of you watching online, stand firm. Let nothing move you. And always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Right? One last verse to encourage you, and then we'll close. Isaiah 43. But now, O Jacob, but you, O Julie, but you, O Jesse, but you, O... I'm sorry. Eileen, thank you. I'm just in the flow up here. Sister Eileen, do... listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. This is all because of the life of Jesus. This is all because you have placed your trust, your life, your heart on the path of life with Jesus, and you continue on the path of life in Jesus. So run after the life of Jesus. Get on that path and stay on that path and run after him, and you will experience his victory, his resurrection life. Hallelujah. Somebody shout, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Let's pray. Why don't you stand? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. You are the giver of life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your life. I declare life and life abundantly over everyone at the sound of my voice. Your life, Jesus, you went to the grave. You dealt with death. You came back, Father, and you experienced resurrection life all for us so that we could have your abundant life. Thank you, Jesus. I declare life over every situation. I declare life over death in every body. I declare life over death in every family situation. I declare life, life, and life abundantly. The Zoe life of Jesus, that cancels, that conquers death in the grave in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we will not, no matter what the result is, but we will not be bitter and dried up and shriveled and without life or without freshness. Father, as long as we stay with our eyes on you, the author and perfecter of our faith, as long as we stay on the path of life, close to you, abiding in the vine, we will experience your life. We will walk on the path of life. It may surprise us. It may be different, Father, but you are good. You are faithful, and you are life to us. Thank you for turning every dark situation into an explosion of your life in our lives. Thank you, Father. We open our hearts to receive that. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us as we spend time with you in intimacy that you show each one the path of life, each step, the step for today. What is the step for today for me to be on and stay on the path of life? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I take authority. I take authority over sickness, over lack, over poverty, over destruction, over mental torment in the name of Jesus. And every other form of death and how it could manifest, I take authority over that by the blood and the name of Jesus, the power of the name of Jesus. And I declare the Zoe life, the abundant life of the Lord Jesus Christ over every life and every situation now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord, for breathing your life on us today. Thank you, Jesus. You are good and you are faithful. We rest in your promises because they are yes and amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for our live stream listeners, Father. Bless them over the top. Cancel out sickness and symptoms in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that they are blessed to be a blessing. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you now in Jesus' name. We believe that we receive. We believe we receive from you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.